Ladies and gentlemen, what's going on? Kick back, relax, make yourself presentable, because we are about to make wrestling professional again. Ladies and gentlemen, thanks for joining me today. This is a very special episode of Make Wrestling Professional Again. I'm back, baby. I took a little bit of a hiatus, was trying to get some stuff reorganized in my life, trying to honestly just trying to find time to watch wrestling. As many of you probably know, I work a full-time job. But before I get into this, facebook.com/makewrestlingproagain, Twitter, you can find me at The Real Pro Alex P on Twitter. Not doing a whole lot with the social media right now. I really need help with it. One of my friends from work is willing to help me out with it a little bit. She's really big in the social media. So yeah, I'm really hoping that we can get that working. The music you heard coming in was my friends at Manhattan Blockade. Those guys are going to be opening up for Hawthorne Heights soon. I need to get deets on that show. Let you guys know about it. I'll probably get it out tomorrow's show. I'll be a little bit better prepared. The song was called Don't Tase Me, Bro. It's on the EP Carry This Passion, which you can find on iTunes and Amazon and pretty much anywhere you can find music at. You can find these guys. Just go ahead and search Manhattan Blockade. Really good. 10 songs. Drop a couple bucks. Support these guys. And if you have a good local music scene, or and in the case of this show, an indie wrestling scene, just do your best. Support them. Speaking of which, I need to be better at going to independent shows. Just don't have time. So before I got, oh yeah. Also, you can find this podcast on iTunes, SoundCloud, and Stitcher. I'm trying to get more. I'm trying to get out to more things. Steven Larson, we're talking about Castbox. I'm gonna check that out and see what that is like. Because, you know, Steven Larson going in Raw, number one wrestling podcast I listen to. I highly recommend you guys listen to them. If you don't, of course, if you don't and you're listening to this, I don't know how you found me before you found them. But yeah, they're good. They're good dudes. So yeah, I took a little bit of a hiatus from doing the podcast. It was mostly because life got in the way. And as most of you know, I do work a full-time job. My schedule changed, so I'm actually at work while all the wrestling is going on. So it's a little inconvenient. So I have to watch it either when I get home at night, which is around 11 o'clock or like 11:30 on a good night, or I have to watch it the next morning and then record and do all that before I go into work, which really eats up my mornings a little bit. So it's one of those things where it's like, okay, do you really want to do this? Do you really want this show to be a thing? And the answer is yes. So you know what? I'm trying to live by the philosophy that I don't have free time. There is no free time. There's only time to do work, and there's a time to do things that I love to do. And this is one of the things I love to do. I love to sit here in my office in the western suburbs of Chicago, Illinois, and talk to you guys that are listening about pro wrestling and pro wrestling activities. I don't know why I went all Hank Hill there for a second. I like pro wrestling and pro wrestling activities, I tell you what. Anyway, so without any further ado, and without any more gilding the lily, so to speak, I'm here to talk about Monday Night Raw from April 30th, which was live from Montreal, Quebec, Canada. And I was actually really surprised, got paper notes here, because I was watching this in bed last night and I didn't feel like taking my laptop into the room. I was actually really surprised by the commentary's restraint on mentioning something. Oh, we're in Bizarro Land. It's really great when they just let crowds be crowds and not try to be like, oh, this is a crazy crowd. Oh, these guys are known for being crazy. Like, just let the crowd be the crowd. Shut up. I don't need to know about it. Show starts off as these Monday Night Raws have been typically known to start off with. Oh yeah, by the way, it's the go-home show for Backlash. For some reason, I was thinking it wasn't this Sunday, but it was next Sunday. So this Sunday, Backlash, which is WWE's first co-branded pay-per-view, And I was thinking about this actually during the Roman Reigns promo. I think the reason why they're doing co-branded pay-per-views is because they're expecting Brock to hold on to that world title, to that Universal Championship, for a long time, and they don't want the Raw pay-per-views to have a main event that doesn't include a world championship. That's kind of my way of thinking. I could be way off base. I'm sure it had something to do with schedules and buy rates, you know, as much as you can get with buy rates from WWE Network and all that stuff. But I don't know. It seems weird to me. I kind of like having the shows having their own separate pay-per-views because I like to think of the shows as their own entities. Like Big Four, I don't mind the crossover so much. But, Big Five now, you got to count Money in the Bank in that conversation. But it's like, I don't know, these smaller ones, I like having the shows be separate. It's just my personal opinion. I don't think it's a popular one, but it's just my personal opinion. So anyway, Raw kicks off with Roman Reigns. And he addresses the Greatest Royal Rumble Universal title controversy. If you didn't watch Greatest Royal Rumble, I did. I actually did a show on it. And the entire thing was just me shitting on the whole thing. It wasn't a bad show at all. I loved it. Start to finish, it was a great show. Anyway, Roman Reigns comes out, addresses the Greatest Royal Rumble Universal title controversy. I guess they even had Chad Patton, the referee during that match, tweet out that basically the TLDR of that is, I was more concerned about the safety of the competitors in the ring. I made the call that I thought was appropriate. My bad. I mean, yeah, I don't know. I was kind of hoping that after this, the whole Roman Reigns thing, they'd just be done with it, but apparently not. So it looks like Roman down the line is probably going to get a rematch against Brock Lesnar again. I'm sure like most of you, I am just weary of this feud. I want it to be done. I'm really hoping that Roman loses a Backlash and they kind of just like, not write him off television, because I do like Roman Reigns, but just kind of get him out of the world title picture, because I want to see different matches. And Brock Lesnar's champion, look, I'm kind of going off on a tangent right now. Brock Lesnar's champion, I just really never, small doses, it's fine. Those quick couple month reigns, like between SummerSlam and WrestleMania, would have been the perfect title reign for him. Anything beyond that, to me, is just, it's a bit, or from WrestleMania to SummerSlam, I guess I should say, because he got from Goldberg at last year's WrestleMania. Yeah, anything beyond that, though, is just like, come on, man. Like, it just sucks, because I feel like Raw doesn't have a world champion right now. They just have a guy that pops in every now and then, and they've turned it into a storyline. They've done a good job turning it into a storyline, and they've done a good job of making Brock Lesnar a huge heel just because of that aspect of his contract. But it's getting ridiculous. I am sick of the world title not being on Monday Night Raw every week. But yeah, that's my two cents about it. So Roman Reigns talks about how he should be Universal Champion and how he's the real Universal Champion, but he's not yet. And then Samoa Joe pops up on the screen, basically says the same thing he's been saying the past couple weeks, is that he's going to prove to everyone that, you know, whatever, blah, 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 blah. And then Jinder Mahal's music hits and he comes out and basically says, you'll lose to Joe come Sunday. And then Sami Zayn comes out and it was a huge pop. It was his hometown, technically. And he says he wasn't even able, like, you guys are all complaining about stuff that happened at Greatest Royal Rumble, and I wasn't even able to go because of Bobby Lashley. And then Sami Zayn challenges Roman Reigns to a match. Well, then Kevin Owens comes out. Huge pop. Again, hometown hero pop. And then he challenges Roman Reigns to a match. Apparently, since Jinder, Sami, and KO, which Jinder never explicitly said he wanted a match, I don't think. I'd have to go back and rewatch it. But Kevin Owens suggests a coin flip. He's like, I don't have a coin, and coins aren't three-sided anyway. So then they do a popularity contest. And of course, KO gets the biggest pop. So he wants Roman Reigns one-on-one. Roman then pops Kevin Owens in the mouth, and big brawl starts. Bobby Lashley comes out. Braun Strowman comes out. And then all the baby faces stand tall. Roman, Lashley, Braun Strowman. They all stand tall, and then they make a match later in the night. It's going to be a six-man tag team match. Roman Reigns, Bobby Lashley, Braun Strowman versus Jinder, Kevin Owens, and Sami Zayn. Go to a commercial next. Elias is in the ring. starts singing a song. I know Elias is supposed to be a heel, and he's kind of getting over. I don't know. I think he's getting over organically. Yeah, he's been like his in-ring work has been a lot better. I've been enjoying watching his matches. And yeah, he's in the middle of a song. Bobby Roode comes out, and it's Bobby Roode versus Elias. I have an all caps right here. What the hell is up with these pay-per-view ads during matches? It drives me nuts that they are now advertising pay-per-views in the middle of matches on Monday Night Raw and SmackDown. Drives me absolutely bonkers that they do that. I don't know why they need the extra commercial time to hype up literally a show that they've been talking about every 5 minutes on Monday Night Raw, but it's just, it's so annoying, especially mid-match, and it just like, you know, you got the double screen there, and oh God, drives me nuts. I hate it. They do this a couple times throughout the night. Elias is very aggressive during this match, and he was focusing on Bobby Roode's throat, which was pretty good. And match ends when Bobby Roode's on the apron, and Elias drives Bobby Roode's head into the turnbuckle between the post and the actual turnbuckle, rams his throat in the metal part, and EMTs and referees start coming down and checking on Bobby Roode. And match ends with Elias picking up a microphone saying, basically announcing himself the winner. It was a good match. I really enjoyed it. Elias has been super aggressive. I kind of want to see Bobby Roode as more of, in more than like, I'm the gatekeeper kind of role. Like the kind of, I call it the Dolph Ziggler role that he was in on SmackDown for a while, where he was just like the guy that brought in all of the NXT talent. And that was their first rivalry. Granted, Bobby Roode, dude's a veteran. He's been around for a really long time. If you're gonna like polish a new guy up with anyone, Bobby Roode's the guy that you do it with. I don't know how WWE cocks up all of these NXT call-ups like they do, with a few exceptions, obviously. But yeah, it's just, it's ridiculous. Next up, Authors of Pain versus some local competitors. I have them here as enhancement talent. It was a quick match. It was a squash. Before the match, Renee Young was interviewing them and was like, why would you want to face Authors of Pain? That's insane. And they're just like, yeah, we're proud French Canadians. And that was pretty much the extent of that interview. AOP wins with a super collider, followed by a last chapter. We move on. Seth Rollins makes his way to the ring, starts cutting a promo, talking about his career over the past few months and all of the traveling. And good God, he was talking about all the traveling that they've done basically since WrestleMania. It's been insane. WrestleMania was only a couple weeks ago. So he's like, yeah, we went from New Orleans to South Africa, St. Louis to Saudi Arabia, now to Montreal. It's like, good God, I got tired just listening to that. And then he kind of burns Brock Lesnar, talks about how he doesn't want to be a champion like Brock Lesnar. He wants to be a fighting champion. He wants to be there every night and defend that title. And as if that was his cue, it was his cue. Finn Balor comes out and challenges Seth Rollins to a match for the Intercontinental Championship, which would go on to be our main event for the evening. Seth Rollins says that he has The Miz this Sunday at Backlash, but he is a fighting champion. So he leaves it up to the fans, which seems to be a running theme for this episode. Fans overwhelmingly want this. Of course they do. Who wouldn't? Finn Balor versus Seth Rollins? Are you kidding me? This main event SummerSlam a few years ago. Matches on. But before they can wrap up the segment, Miz Taraj comes out, makes a case to join both Finn and Seth. Last week on Monday Night Raw, they approached them separately. They went to Seth and like, oh yeah, we could be the new Shield. Or they went to Finn and they're like, oh yeah, we could be Balor Club. Forget Anderson and Gallows. We can be Balor Club. So Miz Taraj makes their case that they should all four of them join forces, and they reveal homemade shirts with all their faces on it. And that was fantastic. That was great. They say, forget the Shield, forget Balor Club. And they say they want to be the new four horsemen of the WWE, which I thought was hilarious. That was good. I love Miz Taraj. I like Bo Dallas and Curtis Axel. I hope after Backlash, they kind of go away from the whole Miz Taraj gimmick and they just let them be a tag team. Because if packaged correctly, booked correctly, I think those two I would love to see them in a rivalry against Matt Hardy and Bray Wyatt for the titles. I think it'd be great. Bo Dallas and Curtis Axel, I think, two one of the most underrated guys on the WWE roster. For God's sakes, they're both second-generation guys. Bo Dallas is a former NXT champion. Curtis Axel is a former Intercontinental champion and a former tag team champion. So it's like they need to do something with him besides just being like a comedy role. And I get it. I know a lot of you guys are thinking, well, you know, you said Bobby Roode needs a push and these guys need a push. Not everyone can have a push. There's only a finite amount of room on the rosters. And I get that. Not everyone can be in the parade. Some people got to sit sideline and make sandwiches. I get that. But good God, they have so much talent that they're not, I feel like they're not using to their potential. And it just, anyway, I'm off on a tangent. Seth looks at their offer and he's like, yeah, it's going to be a hard no. Mr. Raj doesn't like it. So they jump Finn and Seth. And they get thrown out of the ring pretty quick. And then Finn hits Seth with I thought it was like a showstopper type thing, but it was more like it was like a 1916 with some stank on it. Seth like dropped him, but then like dropped an elbow simultaneously. So it was kind of like a showstopper, but I don't know. It's weird. I dug it though. It was cool. Got to Charlie Caruso backstage with Sasha Banks, and she asked if Bayley's going to be in Sasha's corner tonight. Sasha says she hasn't heard from Bayley. No text, no phone calls, no nothing. So, yeah, I don't know what they're going to do with that storyline, but yeah, we move on to one of my favorite matches of the night. Actually, one of two of my favorite matches of the night. Ruby Riott versus Sasha Banks. These two, I could probably watch them main event on Monday Night Raw. They, give them a little bit more time, they could put on a great match. One point, Ruby Riott hit Sasha with a second rope cannonball senton, which was just great. It was a thing of beauty. It looked like it legitimately hurt. It's a good match all around. Ruby Riott picks up the win off the Riott kick while Sasha's on the top rope, and then gets a pinfall. It's a clean win too. Well, sort of. There was some shenanigans involving Riott squad midway through the match. Sasha had the bank statement locked in, and then Sarah Logan distracted the referee while Liv Morgan pulled Ruby Riott to the ropes and broke it up. No, good match. I really enjoyed it. I hope they do that again. Next, we have a Moment of Bliss segment, and my God, these segments with anyone else would be absolutely atrocious. But Alexa Bliss does such a good job with these, like the reading that she does, the way that she reads it, it's like the stuff that shouldn't be funny is hilarious, and I love it. This time it kind of shifted to Nia bullying Alexa about her height, and they talk about how they went to Disney World, to Walt Disney World, and Nia was basically just asking all the workers there if Alexa was tall enough to ride the adult rides, and at one point it's like, yeah, she even asked if I was tall enough to ride the teacups, and just the way she's like, it's a cup. You just sit in a cup. And I laughed out loud to myself in my basement while I was watching it. Good God. It was a great segment. It was fun. I enjoyed it. Next, we move on to backstage with Titus O'Neil and Renee Young. Of course, they're talking about the much memed about moment from Greatest Royal Rumble. I'm going to be honest. I was really kind of worried about Titus initially when I saw that happen, but then I saw he was okay and it was hilarious. And you know, Titus seems to have a good sense of humor about it, but just like everything else that happens like serendipitously in WWE, they're going to ram this into the freaking ground and it's not going to be fun anymore. And they seem to be doing that already. Yeah. Titus seems to have a good sense of humor about the whole thing. I'm happy he's okay. Cause if you watch that, like there's a couple of steel bars underneath the ring, and man, if he would have like plowed into one of those, it would have been over. If he would have hit his head on one of those going at the speed that he was at, oh, I can't imagine. That could have been so much worse. I'm glad it ended up with as a running joke rather than a horrible tragedy, because yeah, like a couple inches could have made the difference in that. Baron Corbin comes in. Baron Corbin says that he doesn't know why Renee Young is wasting time with Titus. You know, he's a joke, whatever. Says he's like, you know what would have been really inspiring? If he didn't fall. I'm like, yeah, that's true. There was a Woken Matt Hardy Bray Wyatt segment, and it was silly, just like most Matt Hardy things. And they talk about how they've traveled through time and space like their vessels have, and it was ridiculous. After the segment, like, Michael Cole just looked perturbed, and I honestly can't tell if he's legit just like not having any of this Woken Matt Hardy stuff or if it's a work. Either way, Michael Cole's a knob. I'm sure he's a nice guy. I shouldn't say things like that. It's not professional. Six-man tag team match coming up. Jinder Mahal, Sami Zayn, Kevin Owens versus Roman Reigns, Braun Strowman, and Bobby Lashley. Honestly, I think Braun Strowman and Bobby Lashley could have taken all of these guys out and it not been a thing. It was an okay match. It was a good match. I'm not really huge on the big six-man tag team matches or just putting singles competitors in tag team matches just to further story when it does, because to me it doesn't really do much to further story. I don't know. It's weird. I'm not a big fan of it. Doesn't make me right. It just means it's not my cup of tea. You can have that. It's fine. I really think someone backstage with the last name McMahon really likes seeing Braun run folks over, especially when it comes to Kevin Owens. Or they both of those guys just decided that, hey, this is a good spot. We should do it more. Because good God, Braun Strowman loves running over some Kevin Owens. Match ends. Strowman picks up the pin on Kevin Owens after running power slam. 1, 2, 3. It was a good match. Everyone got their stuff in. Yeah, it was good. Next, we had Baron Corbin versus No Way Jose. Baron Corbin cuts a promo, and basically the too long didn't read to that was, funny does not equal money. He's not there to entertain. He's there to kick people's teeth down their throats. Midway through the match, Titus O'Neil comes out with the rest of Titus Worldwide, Apollo Crews, and Dana Brooke. It was pretty funny because like Apollo and Dana made sure that, like they wiped down the ramp. So they made sure Titus didn't slip and fall. Titus tries to get into the ring and then slips and falls. Like, I'm done without that. But Baron's distracted the whole time. No Way Jose gets the roll up and the win. Like I said, WWE just going to ram this into the ground and it's just not going to be funny anymore. Instead of, you know, letting things just happen organically like they should. But this is probably going to be part of Titus's gimmick for a while. It's not, they're going to take a moment that was fun and was spontaneous and they're just going to run it into the ground. Be on the lookout in the near future for Titus World Slide t-shirts because I guarantee they're coming. Next match, Mickie James and, Mickie James with Alexa Bliss in her corner takes on Natalya with Ronda Rousey in her corner. Yeah, they're really playing up the relationship between Natalya and Ronda Rousey. I like that. Natty goes for Mickey's injured arm immediately as the match starts. Last week, Mickey got put in an armbar by Ronda Rousey. After some shenanigans, Natty gets the roll up on Mickey James. 1, 2, 3. Natty's your winner. Nia Jax comes out, chases away Alexa Bliss after the match is over, and then goes in the ring and raises Natalya and Ronda Rousey's hands. Nia Jax had to be on TV. I love Nia Jax. She can be on my TV any day of the week. Next, we have a cell phone promo with Ziggler and McIntyre, and I know it was Ziggler and McIntyre because their names were on the screen, just in case you didn't know who the hell they were. God damn it, I hate that. Basically, they don't really say anything of consequence except, you know, we're awesome. Anyway, Balor and Rollins for the IC title. Main event. This was a fun match. Match of the night for me, for sure. I can watch these guys. These guys could wrestle every day. And I would watch it because these guys know each other so well right now. And it's just fun. And seeing these two guys battle for what I consider Raw's top title right now, the Intercontinental Championship, was great. We kind of knew how this was going to end, though, because Seth versus Miz was already kind of set up for Backlash. So, anyway, I'll get to that probably on my... I'm going to try and do a prediction show for Backlash. It'll be after SmackDown Live. Since it's a co-branded pay-per-view, I have to wait for SmackDown Live to kind of see what other matches are announced. And then we'll do a prediction show for that. One really cool spot that happened during this match that I really dug. So Rollins goes for his superplex Falcon Arrow combo. If you don't know what that is, it's where Seth Rollins hits a guy with a superplex from the top rope and then rolls through and then bam, Falcon Arrow. It's great. Seth Rollins hits the superplex and then rolls through and then Balor hits the Falcon Arrow on Seth Rollins. It was pretty good. It was very well done. Again, I could watch these two go at it all day and never get tired of it. And yeah, it looks like Balor's sticking with that new move, that 1916 with the elbow. It's pretty legit. It looks like it hurts. Match ends. Rollins hits Balor with a super kick and then immediately goes for the curb stomp. Pinfall. Rollins, still your Intercontinental Champion. And that was Monday Night Raw. I really enjoyed it. It was a decent show. There were obviously some slow spots. Like I said, I wasn't really huge on the 6-man tag team match. Like, I feel like they just kind of threw gender in it because it's like, oh, we don't have anything for him to do. Screw it. Throw him in. But yeah, it was a decent show. Had two really good matches. We had match of the night for me for sure was Finn versus Rollins and Sasha Banks and Riott. Very close second. It's a good time. So yeah, it was Monday Night Raw for April 30th. Of 2018. It came live from Montreal, Quebec, Canada. So initially what I wanted to do with this show is I wanted to do like weekly recaps, and I can't do it. I'm going to be straight up honest. I like to break the shows down individually. Let's see what's going on SmackDown tonight. Okay, official SmackDown Live preview for May 1st, 2018. Nakamura demands a public apology from AJ Styles. This is from WWE.com. The WWE Championship match at the Greatest Royal Rumble event ended in shocking fashion when both competitors were counted out by the official while brawling around the ringside area. That didn't stop the Phenomenal One from unleashing his rage on the artist. Oh, God, I hate when they call him that. Pummeling him with a steel chair and a phenomenal forearm on the arena floor. Shinsuke is looking for a public apology. Also, tonight, Jeff Hardy is to be the guest on Miz TV. Charlotte Flair and Carmella lead trios of six-woman tag team action. Oh, God. I'm sorry, lead trios in six-woman tag team match action. So tonight's going to be Charlotte Flair, Asuka, and Becky Lynch versus Carmella and the Iconics. So that should be good. Will Big Cass revel in ruining Daniel Bryan's greatest Royal Rumble moment? Yeah, so that looks like the preview for SmackDown tonight. I can't wait. I'll probably be watching it early tomorrow morning or late tonight. More than likely, just late tonight. Anywho, kids, that's going to do it for the show. Thanks for joining me. I hope you guys stick around for this crazy ride. I've got more stuff coming. I've got more content that I'm working on. Again, if you'd like to hit me up on social media, Twitter at TheRealProAlexP, Facebook.com/MakeWrestlingProAgain. I'm going to be doing more with the social media. I would like to engage people more. I kind of want to bring more people in to listen to this show. Still looking for a co-host that wouldn't mind popping in maybe once every couple of weeks or so and talk about pro wrestling for a bit. That'd be fun. I'd really enjoy that. But yeah, that's going to do it for me. Anyway, my name is the American Professional. I'm Alex P. And just remember, in all things, always, always, always be professional. Thanks, guys. Take it easy. I'm just going to leave that open. Probably going to regret that. Anywho.